And I'll call my message today, The Path to Our Dream. Did we get our screen up for that or no? I didn't know if we got that before people fell over. isn't that great screen? I like that.
Yes, it is.
The Path to Our Dream. Now, I didn't say to your dream. It's the dream that God, the dream path that God has on us on together. See, we're aware that the year 2018 is bringing with it many changes to the church everywhere. And changes always bring opportunities. In order to be ready for opportunities, then we really need to look to the Lord to speak to us concerning what season we are in and what we can be doing while He's doing what He's doing. It's important, if we know the ways of God, the Scripture says that Moses, the children of Israel, knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. Because we don't know the ways of God, sometimes we get discouraged, sometimes we get confused, sometimes we think God's not being true to His promise, but it's because we are instant people, coffee, tea, and drive up and get your burger. And the Lord's not like that. You don't get to put a quarter in and get something out. He has a way that He works. When God calls us to be a part of His plan, we can be successful as we walk with Him. Then He will take us to the end, to the fulfillment of that dream, if we will walk His way according to His plan. You know, when this is what happened with the call on Joseph's life. God presented His plan to Joseph in a dream. I'm speaking of a dream that God gives, not just something that appeals to us that we would like to do. I sometimes have heard people say, well, I'm a dreamer. Well, that's okay if that means you're free to use your imagination. That's fine. It works. But there's dreaming, and then there's dreaming God's dream. And, you know, I had never in my life, for example, and the time didn't come in 1973 that I said, oh, goody, I've known all my life I'd be a preacher. I didn't even know all my life I'd ever get saved. Nobody tried to tell me that I ought to preach. Some told me that I shouldn't. I didn't have all these nice little snug things work out until finally my dream was realized. This wasn't my dream. I didn't have a dream till God gave me one. The dream that I have is a dream that God gave to me. My personal dreams, if I had any, would have been very ordinary. I know that, you know, when I finished Bible school one day, a lady came by my home and invited me to be in the garden club of the neighborhood, and I was horrified. I didn't want to be a garden club person. I didn't know what I wanted to be, but I just knew that I had more. I think garden clubs are great, but that was not exactly what I was cut out for. So I believe that we can learn from Joseph's life the things that are necessary in order for us to fulfill the dream. How many of you want to fulfill the dream that God's given us? It's a pattern or a process that we go through. It's not a piece of cake, unless it's devil's food. And if we ultimately arrive at His destinations for us, He will involve Himself in the process we're walking in. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing in life, look left and right, look for God. He's there working in that process. In our case, He's caused us to come together around the vision He has for this house. I'm glad you're here. I've been thinking about you for a couple of 2-3 weeks, and so then I prayed for you. I'm saying this to the sweet person who just came in, Laura. Some people don't even know they're loved so much they're missed if they're not here a couple of Sundays, but it's the case when God puts people in your heart.
Amen.
And He first spoke this vision to me, and as I shared it to many others, and they embraced that same vision. And this, of course, is how God builds a ministry. He starts with giving a person a vision. If it's not that, as one man said to me, well, we're just going to start a church and see what happens. And I thought, no. It's not like that. If God doesn't call it, you're going to have problems you will not be able to conquer. But just, I want to talk to you for a few minutes now about in the meantime, between the giving of the dream and the fulfilling of it. Because there ain't no time like the meantime. Joseph's life was uneventful until one day God gave him a dream. And the dream was from God. And here's how it reads in Genesis 37, verse 6. And he said to them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed." Anybody has a dream, just want to tell people, it's wonderful. "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." Now that, in a pig's eye, but they wouldn't say that being Israelite, but they said something. "And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed rule over us?" What? Their answer was, what? "Shalt thou indeed rule over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars have made obeisance to me." God dreams evoke strong feelings. God dreams. When you're church with a strong God dream, it evokes strong feelings. What do you mean you have a dream? Church is about getting as many people in the seats as you can and keeping as long as you can and doing something for God and winning people. Isn't that it? Part of it. But then you got to have a vision. Where are you going? What's God want to do? What is God doing in the earth? What on earth is God doing? Is what we have to find out and then be a part of that. But when people have God dreams, there sort of comes an authority and a challenge with it that sometimes frightens people. The scripture says the immediate response of his brothers was envy. And they hated him. I remember hearing Barbara Walters say, "If you are not willing for people to be jealous of you and some will try to hurt you, then don't plan to succeed." If you succeed, envy and jealousy goes with it. You can't explain it. It's a part of human nature. You don't cause it. It comes out of the person that has it. That's a part of it. So don't worry about that when people say envious, jealous things about you. If you have a dream that's truly from God, it will evoke strong responses from those around you, either for or against. If you are just a dreamer dreaming dreams, nobody cares either way. But if it's a God dream. Now, our dream, the Lord told us to build a place where he could have the people who would give their all to him and minister to the needs of the people that he would send. That was the embryonic vision of this house. He made it very clear that we would need more space to expand because the vision would enlarge through the years. So we purchased 100 acres, and 3 years later we purchased 60 acres. And we have 160 acres, and it is paid for. To God be the glory. And there is expansion. And numerous prophetic people have seen this expansion. Some have said specific things about it. We've had words like from Marianne Brown that the latter will be greater than the former. And she said, "You promise me when you come in all this glory, God's showing me that you'll let me be a part of it." Well, she can be as a part of the company of saints that surround us because she decided to go on to heaven. But different people have seen these things. Elaine Knadel, who's in heaven now, called me not long before she died, and she said, "I was just praying for you like I pray for you all the time. And I was praying for Shekinah, and I just saw it just started erupting and growing and expanding and expanding, and as far as my eye could see." So we've had many, many prophetic words about expansion and about the future. And we may not realize this, But when God is going to do something, it takes a while to get the people ready He's going to do it through. Everybody say it takes a while to get ready.
Takes a while to get ready.
We didn't know that we would have a Christian academy for 25 years or that we would have an international Bible school. Or did we know that revival would be here and change the whole atmosphere and we would become a gathering place for conferences and training on worship and prayer? Why do people need to be trained to pray? I mean, it is very important that God raise up some people to teach others to pray. Because without it, people won't pray. The flesh hates prayer. The flesh lusts against the spirit, the scripture says. I read in a little article the other day, I really thought it was going to be serious about ways to pray outside the box. I thought, well, good. I mean, it came from a Christian source, and I thought, well, that maybe they got some ideas. In the first part, you know, it started out, wasn't too bad. And it said, and then there's some people that are just not good at praying. And the thing to do is to get them some tools, some art tools and things like that, and let them just draw. Maybe some people will want to just write. They're good writers, and they can just write. And they can give that to God as an offering. Well, let's do that when it's not prayer time. I didn't get it. You know why that is? Because we don't know how to pray. As I shared with you, you know, last Sunday about a place in Africa, that it's just part of their lives. They pray. All their people pray four times a day. So we are, part of our calling is to teach people to pray, to teach people to worship. Because the Holy Ghost taught us. Not because we were born knowing anything, but through that revival He brought us into these things. Now you can't do that if the Lord doesn't give it to you and equip you and anoint you to do it. So we're to be faithful to that calling and thank God for it. But because the work here was a new thing, which God seems to do, God does do new things. In the Bible, He even says, behold, I do a new thing. There were those in the religious community who didn't know exactly what to think. They were puzzled because of the level of commitment and sacrifice. Now, we never suggested that any of them make a commitment or sacrifice. It would just been easy for them to just applaud. That's all they had to, or to just go the other way. But some wanted to be critical. To this day, I cannot understand it. They were puzzled about it. If we had a woman come to church, well, I'll tell you who it was. It's Gabriel's mom. She wouldn't mind if I told you. And she said, this church is so different. I heard that it was something about you guys wanting people's money and this and that and the other. Well, if we wanted it, we didn't get it. It's a wonder we stuck around, isn't it? Now, why do those things happen? Because people don't get it, because it's something of the Spirit. It doesn't matter. God will always give those that are needed in order to do what He wants done. Thank God we heard. And so, in Joseph's case, they were jealous of him, and they called him, here comes this filthy dreamer. I heard a couple of our kids were playing one day, the parents told me. They were playing Joseph in his dream. And they heard one of them say, here comes this filthy dreamer, let's get him. I love the picture of the whole thing, you know. It's an absolute picture of what happens to the one who dreams a dream that's beyond where other people are. And they don't get it. But it doesn't hinder, it doesn't have anything to do except that it helps the dreamer himself to understand how to be enlarged in his spirit and how much he needs God. They were making plans to get rid of Joseph. So from this point, we begin to learn that it's about Joseph. It's about what it is about Joseph that qualifies him to be a dreamer of God's dreams. There are qualities that we need in order to carry God's dream, to be a dreamer of God's dream. And we'll see how God develops his character so that he will be able to fulfill his dream through Joseph. I mean, he lets the things happen to you in your life to get you ready so that he can do what he's promised to do. Now, the way the flesh takes it is, I guess he's not going to do it. It's been this long and I've got all these problems, you know. Well, in the Bible, they thought the same kind of things. I mean, Abraham thought that. Sarah thought that. It's been all these years, and we don't have a son yet. Abraham, let me help you. a little bit to find out how to get a baby. And we always go back to the natural, but the Lord says, I'm going to put enough character in you that you can be a dreamer of dreams and that you can carry the dream until its fruition or fulfillment comes to pass. There's only one way that character is developed. It's through a process. God has, you know, I heard one man say, if you want instant sainthood, you would be nothing but a pound of ground hamburger. In other words, you can't handle the dealings all at one time. There's no such thing as instant in character forming. You have to feel like what it's like to be knocked down or to fall down before you can appreciate what it is to stand up. And it takes a while to go through all of those things. It's just God working. God has ordained a path for us, and He will reveal to us and to others when the time has come for the Word to come to pass. Because remember in Romans 5, it says in verse 3, We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. This is what happens to us. Don't tell me that through hard times and hardships and pain and difficulties you help others with, don't tell me that that doesn't make your heart more loving and more compassionate. It does. Through all of these things, if you hang in there, the love of God then will be shed abroad in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a revelatory sentence. There is a revelatory sentence about how God works in bringing us to fulfill our destiny and realize our dreams. Now listen carefully. Psalm 105, 19. Until the time that Joseph's word came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him. That's a revelation of the way of God when He gives you a word. I remember Carol saying one time, I'm not asking God for another word. Last word I got's already tried me half to death. Are you getting it? If you want a word from God, then that word will try you. You mean it's bad to get a word? No. I mean, you think it's bad what happens to you so that you can fulfill the word. Because you don't understand the ways of God. Maybe we think we're good enough already. Wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. God, why do you have to deal with me? Am I not good enough? Well, don't you think there'd just be a problem or two? Have you ever noticed there's a problem or two with you sometimes? Well, that's what He's dealing with. Until the time that His word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Says verse 18, they bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar until the time came to fulfill his dreams. The Lord tested Joseph's character. Then Pharaoh sent for him and set him free. Is this real water right here? I didn't know. I was hoping for something better, but I'll take water. All right. God will try you and develop your character based on the dream He has given. When you come to the place you're ready for that dream to be fulfilled through you, God will open every prison door and send for you and have you walk into His purpose.
Yes, amen.
You don't have to try to get God to use you. He'll send for you. And He'll line things up so there's a place just right for you to fit in. If you're not willing for the word of the Lord to try you, He won't send you a word. And He knows whether you're willing for that. And He's not going to just aggravate you. He doesn't want to drive you away. But if He were to put you into the place He wants you to be, ultimately, before you have been tried and your character formed, it would be destructive to you. Right? I mean, you don't give a 5-year-old the keys to your car. I read of a 9-year-old that outran the police. Not it wasn't too long ago. He gave them a jolly ride. That kid shouldn't have been able to get to those keys. He had keys, he had a foot, he had hands, but his brain wasn't working. There was an African leader who told the story that he had to be taught that he was not willing to work in the protocol where he was invited to speak. Did you know that's important? You just don't go into a church and say, you guys are not doing it right. I'm the speaker here. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. No, we find out how long do you want me to speak and do you want me to minister after, things like that. Because we're not there as gods. We're there as ministers of God. And the pastor is in charge. He's the one in charge of the church. And so this was a man who had a very powerful ministry, very well-known person. I'm surprised he would tell this story. And the man he went to speak for was a bishop. And so this bishop told him, very large church. And he said to him, now, this service is about an hour long. And you have so much that you can preach and say that will really help my people. You know, sometimes I've been where there's a speaker and he just cuts didos and does all kinds of things that seem real dynamic and all, but he doesn't teach. And I'm always wanting to know, but how did you get so much anointing? Slow down just a minute and tell us something. Don't just do demonstrations. Well, this is sort of what this pastor was saying. But this man said, but I just thought, hey, these people need what I have to give, so I just laid it on them. I cast out demons, and I had some words that I had to speak to some, and I took all the time I wanted to, and toward the end I spoke a little short word. But he said, people started leaving. Before I could finish, while I was still preaching, they started leaving. A whole lot of them left. And so he said, at the end of the service, then the bishop came to me and he said, you know what I ask you to do, right? He says, the way it is with the people here, they're going to stay an hour. They're not going to stay longer than that. Just because you're a big church and been around a while doesn't mean you're willing to stay 3 or 4 hours. It doesn't seem to do that to you. And so these people just started leaving. And he said, I didn't even get enough to pay my airfare home. And the bishop never invited me back again. What happened? He was beyond his depth. He was trying to move in a realm where he set his own protocol, thought he knew something he didn't know, wasn't wise enough to understand how these things work, hurt himself and hurt that church. So God doesn't throw you out in a message like that. You might push yourself in. But he won't put you in that kind of thing. I've found myself in some places sometimes that I've been amazed and shocked and said, Lord Jesus, help me. How in the world did I get here? I hope it was you and not me. I was ministering in a large church, about 3,000 people. They were all there that Sunday. And when I was speaking, it was in those days, we called it the river. And there were such tremendous manifestations. And so when I would pray for people, they would just all fall. And a lot of things would happen. There'd be emotional healings. Sometimes there'd be physical healings. Wonderful things would happen. But when I was in conversation with the pastor before the service, I found out he didn't believe in that. And he didn't believe that that present move we were in at that time was real. He said, what kind of thing is that? Ask people, come up here, stand up so you can fall down. And I thought, hello, wow. No, he didn't even know that I are one, you know. And so when I got toward the end of my message, the Lord would give me a sign in my hands whether to pray for people or not. And so I'm standing there and I'm speaking and I'm listening. I'm just listening to the Lord. Because everywhere I went, that's what would happen. I'd feel this sign and then I would pray. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, no. Because if they get what you can impart, it will cause a big problem in the church that they don't need. See, they were so unready for a blessing, they just had to keep the unblessing. Until they could get some kind of ministry from God. And he said, and the pastor is not in agreement. So you don't want to cause a division. As you know, Joseph's journey took him from the pit of his brother's hatred to the palace of seduction and the false accusation into the prison to be betrayed. It was everything but an easy road. But when it was time for him to become ruler over Egypt, God sent for him and opened the prison doors. Now, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to sit down a bit here, Don, if you'll just move this right over there to finish this. Because I want to take my time with this. I dislike the way that they walk off and leave me at this point, but I don't know how.
We didn't know you were ready to sit down.
It's okay. You guys are so great. How you put up with me. Sam is dressed up today. I guess he wants us to applaud how nice he looks. Yay. Now, that's the groundwork. Now, here's where it gets exciting. Until his word came, God takes us through seasons, hasn't he? He trains us. He equips us. He's the one who decides when our time has come. Has that ever occurred to anybody? That God will decide when our time has come. Have you ever told God he's late? I've never known him to be early, but he is on time. But it doesn't always seem like our time, does it? And sometimes then when he starts doing it, he does so much of it you can't even handle it. We've had that experience as well. Recently, the Lord had me, and it's a good time when we've been snowed in. Some of these days have just been wonderful to just spend the time by the fire, with my Bible, with the Word of God, with my prophecies that I have received. And I felt the Lord really spoke to me. Take some time and go through your prophetic words. And let me speak to you. I've heard Bill Johnson say that on a regular basis, he gets out his prophetic words and he prays over them. Paul told Timothy to war with the prophetic word that had come over him. War. With the prophecies that have come. It's the word of God. And we use those as weapons. And we declare them. We decree them. We announce them. We rejoice over them. We ask the Holy Ghost to speak to us about them. Now, this doesn't mean, surely if you have some prophetic words, it could be that they're not all accurate. You might even have a real ringer in there. Who knows? You might have one that told you you're going to be president. Well, I just want to tell you that it's not real likely. The way things are going right now, we better keep this one a little while, see if we can get another thing or two straightened out. It's going to work out. So wait till next term. Don't interfere with anything. But the wonderful thing is that God gives a prophetic word. Now, a prophetic word is what brings out of a person what God intends and what God has put there. A prophetic word doesn't make that something happen. It is confirmation to you and announces to you what God is going to do, what God wants to do, and God certainly lets it be used for an encouragement. And it's sometimes for direction to better know and understand the seasons. And it's wonderful. I feel sorry for people who are never in an atmosphere where they receive a prophetic word. I have, in my 40-some years in the ministry, I have a lot of prophetic words that have been spoken over my life, starting back before Shekinah, I'm talking. The first prophetic word I ever got, all of it has been fulfilled. It's pretty broad. I said I'd go to the nations of the world and the Lord would give me favor with dark-skinned people and all of these different things. And then as the time went on, he kept giving me words which were helpful to me. So don't think that a prophetic word's going to make something happen. The purpose of it is to say, let, to release it, to let it be, and to confirm to you, yes, you're the one. You're the one that's going to do that. You're the one I've spoken to. And God is confirming through his prophet, and I want you to move in this. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I love his plan. I love it. I'm going to get someone, I'm working on getting someone that Heidi Baker highly recommends to come and minister to our church. And he's a younger person who's prophetic. And because we have some new people in our church, some of you maybe have never even received a prophetic word or whatever, I want you to have opportunity for perhaps this to happen for you. So I'm working on that. So as I was looking at the prophetic words, I got out the most recent, like a little set of prophetic words that I received in a conference where I was ministering in Sheboygan. That's in Michigan, I believe. And Wisconsin. Thank you. Well, all I know is the pilot turned left. Or he turned left right in the middle of the lake. And I asked him why he did that. I did. Every now and then when pilots do unusual things, I'll ask them why they did that. You know what he told me? Because that's the route they set for me to come in. I said, well, that's good. And so while I was at that conference, it was a rather large conference. Now, it was one of those conferences where the invitation to me was just ordained by God. I never knew any of those people, never met them, never heard them, didn't know who they were. They had seen my book online somewhere and had the one Prayer in Another Dimension. They had read that and they wanted things like that taught as a conference on prayer. They had three speakers. One spoke each night, which I thought was real expensive. You know, I do things this myself, but that's how they had it all set up. But they also had several prophetic people that were there. They were very prophetic people. And I received several prophecies there that are going to be fulfilled that haven't been fulfilled yet. And so that's the future. And so we have some words that the Lord has put on an expectation in the future. And I received as well some further confirmations to words that I had already received. Words that I'd already received, they said that same thing over again. And one said, now, here's where we are in Sheboygan. One said, you don't have just a church, but there's a campus and has land. It's going to be used, and it also, by the way, will bring compensation as well. Well, I vote for that. And then he says, legacy. Now, that was before, I think it was before Heidi Baker had said it. I'm not sure. Legacy. It's time to move forward as fast as possible. And I see people coming from here and there in many places helping and undergirding you. Now, there's about half a dozen of these prophecies that different people gave me while I was there. The man who was hosting the conference gave me a prophetic word as I walked toward his table to have dinner with him one night. Just things like that just happened sort of out of the box, very different. So obviously I'm just picking a few lines out that I think are significant out of the things. And I'll tell you something else about prophecy. Sometimes people say things that are a little bit outrageous and you'd be embarrassed to say them, if you know what I mean. They're kind of ultra complimentary. So I don't put those things in when I share with you. I just get out the words that have to do with us and what God might be saying to us, okay? You know, during our week of prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit really spoke to us about reaching out and helping those that can't afford care, medical care, or say people involved with drugs or various other situations in our community where we could step in or bring people in and be involved. And we prayed even about our hospitals, that decisions they would make in this merger would, that they would include things that would reach those that can't get medical help because of finances and all that. We had a real burden for this. We must have prayed about it half a dozen times. And just we just had this sense that we wanted to be involved in something like that in some way. And even after that, some of our people that are in medical fields spoke to me privately about ways that we might possibly, they had ideas about ways that we could possibly maybe do clinics here and reach out around us to those in need. I'm talking about really hands-on being involved. You know, one of the books that I read on a regular basis is Hudson Taylor and how he established the China Inland Mission. One day I was reading this book and it's two volumes. And I began to weep because it was this simple. I would go down the Yangtze River, and where there was a tributary, I would turn up that tributary and find a settlement of people there. I would preach the gospel to them and leave them Bibles and some helps to live a Christian life, and I would go down the Yangtze River to the next tributary, and I said, Lord, I want something that simple. Lord, you know, because of our culture, the way we are in America, it's hard to get into places. It's hard to get into things. It's hard to find ways that you can take the next step. And I've asked the Lord, will you just simplify some things so that this thing that burns in our hearts, you know, show us how we can step out and do some of these things. this kind of thing has been prophesied to us several times. But now the prophet used the word faster. You need to go faster because it is your time. This would be a wonderful way to reach our community and win the lost by giving them what they're desperate for. If we can reach out to help people either medically or involved in drugs or that sort of thing. Now I'm going to share this next little thing I'm going to share with you. It's a little bit opaque. Let's say it right. I'm not telling you exactly what it is, because I can't tell you yet because I don't have permission to. But I'm so excited about it. I do want you to know that there's things in the works, and I want you to be praying about how God is opening a way for us to have direct outreach and contact, and for people to come to us as well, and us be involved, and certainly involve our medical people, as well as many of you who want to be involved in this thing. So I also had someone in our community approach me. At the end of the week of prayer and fasting, it was basically the next day, about this type of outreach that could be extended from our ministry. It would draw people here on our grounds for the part that we would be involved in, and while at the same time it would release us out in to following that up to being involved in our community. I can tell you that much, and that says a lot, doesn't it? Amen. All right, thank you for that. Because I have said that I won't say any more than that. But I don't mean to tantalize you. I mean to encourage you. And I promise you, and I don't think it'll be very long, that when I come to where I can just openly say this, I'll share it with you, and you'll be very excited. The other thing is, I need to share this with our leadership and people that would be directly involved that I talked to about these things before I would share it openly. Hello, amen. All right. You see, we do this kind of thing in missions all the time. We reach out directly to what it is that people need. When I'm in Mozambique, for example, the hardest day I ever put in my whole life was when I started out. They let me ride in the front of the truck. That was mercy. The others were in the bed of this big truck, and we're going to this outreach. And it was, first of all, a medical outreach, but it went on most of the day. And, Janet Pickstock was with me, so we were working together. I loved it because Janet would lecture them. This one problem had venereal, one person had venereal disease. And she said, well, okay now, I'm going to give you something for this, but I'm telling you, go and you sleep around with people, you're just going to get the same thing again. I thought, atta girl, Janet, you tell him. So we had many opportunities. They called it kingdom medicine. And we would go in and pray for the people and then minister to them. They let me do things like give the children deworming pills, you know, something where I couldn't hurt anybody. But we worked at that and we prayed with the people. And that's when I took a break. In the middle of that, I took a break because there were about 25 men standing over under a tree. And I grabbed this little guy and asked him if he would interpret for me. And I went over and preached the gospel to them. About half of them got saved. And then I went back over into the medical tent and worked with them some more and talked to him about this long day. And when it starts getting dark, then they show the film of Jesus in their dialect. And just a lot of people got saved. I was so tired. By that time, I was over in the dark where you couldn't see me. And I spied a bench over there. And I thought, I'm going to lie on this bench and take, I don't care if a scorpion eats me up. I'm so tired. And I dozed off for a minute. I was that tired. At the end of that day, then we gave an invitation and started a church right there on the spot. And they do that all the time. They do that week after week. Now, go out and first of all, show them love, pray for them, minister to their physical things as much as we could in that situation. Then preach the gospel beautifully to them in their own dialect through a film. Then preach a short form of the gospel. Give an invitation. Build a church. And I see things take so long in America. I'm saying, Lord, give us ways it'll be more direct. And we promise to be faithful, to do all the things that we can, to be involved with people in the way we can, to give them some real help, which we can do. And it'll just be a joy to us. It's one of the ways, and the person who spoke to me about it said that they saw great expansion would come from it. And I thought about the prophecies that I'd had from Elaine Knadel, expanding, expanding, expanding. I'm just sharing with you from my heart, is that okay?
Yes.
I'm making myself a little bit vulnerable by telling you things that I usually just keep to myself. I'm sharing this with you. I want you to be praying with me, and I want you to be set on fire with excitement to know that we're getting ready to take another move here or something. Another one of these prophets in Sheboygan said, I'm getting ready to cause you to move in places where you thought you would never be because you did not request to be there, because this is the day of shifting and turning around. Well, it really is, isn't it? So you remember that I shared with you maybe several weeks ago that I'd had an invitation from a group called Deborah's Voice. And there's to be a meeting in September 2018. The purpose of the meeting is to give the platform to the Christian voice to do what those women did a year ago when they say, we want to be able to have abortions and all this, that, and the other. Then we'll have the other voice, the Christian voice, that stands against. And you saw some things on the news recently, didn't you, about how they're trying to mobilize their groups again, but they don't know that another group is being mobilized. And so I've been asked to be one of the speakers to that. Now, I've spoken to some pretty large groups, but I haven't spoken to a group this large before. And I didn't ask for this, and I never thought of this, by the way. I was minding my own business, trying to just keep my eyes on whatever it is that God wants me to do. But I believe it's an opening. And God is getting ready to do some things to save our nation and not let it be overtaken by that which opposes so severely the things of God. We've got to stand up and we've got to make our voices count. We have to lift up a voice and be known for what we believe. And I was so happy that the president spoke to the Right to Life, the first sitting president that's ever done that, and his words were very positive, that love brings life. And not having abortions is the way to release life. This kind of thing, it was very, very clear. So this would be a voice to counter the women's movement that is speaking those other things. I read that they're becoming very weary. I read that 2 or 3 days ago, and I thought, good. Let them just get real tired. Now, nothing happens to them. They just get tired and sit down and don't do this anymore. So I saw this, that so much has to do with God's timing. Don't we wish that we could get God on our time schedule? You know, I'm not opposed at all to setting goals. That's good. You need to have something to strive for. But I've known some people that get into goal setting, and everything they believe is really going to happen at the time that they say it is. Well, prophets probably miss it more on timing elements than anything else.
Right.
You know, they'll get something really right, but sometimes they can be 25 years off. It's really a fact. It's just as a fact. Some of the things, by the way, that are in the prophetic words that I was reading over are the exact things that people are talking to me about now. And these things are 20, 25 years old. The exact words. Well, I thought, well, you know, you did that with Abraham. 25 years. You know, when Yongi Cho was in the midst of his work and had really grown, I think by that time he had a church of 10,000 or something like that. But he had this terrible physical problem. Sometimes he really thought he was going to die. And so he went to the Lord and just cried out to God. And he said, "You're a healer. I know that you're a healer. I've got to have this healing." And the Lord said, "I'm going to heal you in 10 years. Now, I know none of you want to hear that, and I sure don't. Anyway, I've already put my years in if it goes like that, I hope. And you know, see, I know that might just fly over some of your heads, but here's the thing. If the Lord's going to give you the biggest church in the world to pastor, it might take a while for him to deal with you. So in that period of time, he learned how to let people delegate and all the things. He had to get all these things in order. Plus, he had to deal with him so he'd know that Yongi Cho's not the great man, but that God is the great everything. That's what that was all about. It's so much of it is about timing. So let me finish off with this. You guys finished yet?
Okay. We're with you.
In Genesis 50, verse 15, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead. Now, this is right to the end of the story. I like a person like myself who often will start at the end of a book or sometimes in the middle. This doesn't bother me a bit to just hop right to the end of the story. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us." You know, he treated them pretty bad. I mean, they treated Joseph really bad, put him in a pit, hoped he'd die, and he didn't. That's what people do to you sometimes. But trying to put you in a pit, hope you'll die, and you don't. You just rise again right up out of that pit. You come up into the next thing, and they hope they got you there, but they can't. They think that by betrayal, they'll cause you to have a nervous breakdown. But then the Lord shows you how to ride over top of everything the enemy tries to do to keep you from fulfilling that dream. The enemy cannot keep you. Only you can keep yourself by giving up, by giving in, by letting discouragement come. So, and he will certainly requite us of all the evil that we did unto him. And they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say, Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren." I wonder if he really said that. "And their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said to them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought to do evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." I promise you, this is the key to forgiveness, to understanding forgiveness, and to forgive. The devil means it for bad, but God means it for good and to bring life out of it. Not just for good, but to bring to pass unto good as it is this day to save much people alive. The more God allows you to be dealt with, the more anointing can come on you that you can flow to other people in Jesus' name so that you can help save more people alive. You see it? A prepared Joseph was now ready to realize his dream. He was so transformed that his heart was enlarged enough that he could rule righteously and compassionately. God could trust him with the wealth and the lives of Egypt. So I just put this prayer for us So be it at Shekinah, Lord.
Amen.
Whatever could have been keeping us from fully entering the expansion of our destiny, we pray let us now be prepared to enter into your ultimate plan, and may it be for your great glory.
Yes. We say yes.